And our story comes from the Gospel according to Luke, from chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I might throw in a bonus verse today, just saying. Hear these words. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed. Amen. So this week we're going to be focusing on Jesus reconciles. And I wanted to start off with saying that, I don't know if you picked up in the text, but when the angel of the Lord showed up to the shepherds, they were afraid. Because the text says that all the realms of the heavenly were there. So it's not just one angel, it was a crowd, a horde, a big mess of angels. If I had to be honest, I would probably be shaking in my boots too. Imagine the sight, surrounded by all of these angels. And the first words they hear, "Do not be afraid." I find it interesting that anytime God shows up to use somebody, the first words out of the angel's mouth or the messenger's mouth is, "Do not be afraid." Having an experience with God can cause fear. And yet God, being a God of love, offers these words, "Do not be afraid." And so this week, today, we're going to talk about Jesus reconciles. But what's it mean to be reconciled? Reconcile, to restore. Going back to the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the picture, there was a relationship between God and Adam and Eve. A beautiful, unblemished, perfect relationship. There was no obstacle between God and his created. And then sin enters the picture. This is one of the few places on earth, a church that is, that acknowledges that we are sinners. We're broken. We've done something to create a separation between us and God. And so Jesus reconciles. That term reconcile means to bring back together, to restore that relationship that once was. I wonder if we can even understand what that might mean. I think I might have a glimpse, a little hope of what it might feel like. But this is coming from a human perspective, a pastor's perspective, a broken sinner's perspective. So bear with me. In 2011, I had the privilege of going on an archaeological excavation dig over in Israel. Halfway around the world, I went to experience the beauty of the Holy Land, a place where the night before I left, my son came into my room and gave me Lenny. Lenny is pictured in there. He's in my hand. He's from the Wonder Pets. Have you ever seen the Wonder Pets? Lenny traveled over to Israel with me. And everywhere I went, Lenny went, as a reminder of what was waiting for me at home. And it was a great adventure. I took 1,800 pictures while I was over there. 900 of them Lenny is in. Lenny got dirty. He explored. We had a great time together. We would dig during the day, come home, eat lunch, have a pottery wash, then a lecture that night, and then we'd have some free time playing euchre, and then we'd get up the next morning and do it all over again. And then on the weekends, we traveled all over Israel, and it was so amazing to see the Bible come to life at every stop. But then, at week 3.5, I hit a wall. I went to my professor, who was there with us, and said, I can't do this anymore. I need to go home. And he kind of laughed. He says, well, you can't go home. We're not done yet. And I started to cry, and I said, you don't understand. I need to get home and see my family. I don't want to be here anymore. It was the first time I'd ever been away from my son. And it was the first time I had ever been away from my wife for that long of a time. And it was the first time I could understand in my own heart what God must have longed for to reconcile, to restore those relationships. Somehow, some way, the professor talked me off the edge. It was the longest week and a half of my life. It was the longest 11-hour flight I have ever experienced. But I'll never forget the embrace in the airport with my wife and my son as we shed tears together. The reconciliation that Jesus offers us is that moment where we're brought back into the right relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's a moment that often brings people to their knees, tears to their eyes, but more importantly, hope to their heart. And I want to share three different ways that Jesus reconciles. The first is how Jesus reconciles with the individual. Now, these all three stories are real stories that actually happen, but I've changed the names to protect the innocent. So the first story starts out like this. The oldest of three girls raised in a family that was, well, less than perfect, rather dysfunctional. Her father was an alcoholic and drug addict and actually sold drugs. He was psychologically, physically, and I wonder, sexually abusive. And so from a child's perspective, as the child grows up, looks at all of these relationships between father and their children that surround them. And she sees nothing but happiness and joy, which she longs for in her own relationship with her father. And so she stays at home as long as she possibly can until her two younger siblings are old enough to defend themselves so that the cycle breaks. And then she gets out on her own, trying to find a spouse that will be the opposite of what her father was. Broken relationship after broken relationship after broken relationship, she finally comes to the point where she says, God, am I not meant to be in a relationship? And the person that is counseling her makes this comment. Maybe before you can get into a relationship with another, maybe, just maybe, let's work on a relationship of healing you with God the Father. And through counseling, and patience and prayer, her love and heart for God comes alive. Her forgiveness for her father is laid out there. Healing occurs. And about 6 months later, a gentleman returns from Florida to back home, to Northern Ohio, where churches tend to do this kind of thing. Do we have any matchmakers in the house? You ever see two young people thinking, oh my gosh, they would work perfectly together, right? Both of these individuals were not interested. Yet there were some matchmakers in the church that said, well, at least join together for coffee. And here's the beautiful thing, because Christ was in the midst of all of it, the pastor got to witness a sacred moment officiating that wedding. Her father was in the congregation that day. He did not walk her down the aisle, for he had lost that privilege. Her sisters did. And as she shared with me later on, she said, you know, Pastor, there were four people walking down the aisle that day. And I said, four? I saw three. She goes, but God the Father was in our midst. You see, her marriage allowed her to experience a family, the family of her groom, that she had never experienced before. It's what we would call a traditional family, where the mother and father stayed in love with each other their whole marriage. And they embraced her as a daughter, not a daughter-in-law. And the beautiful part of that story is they now have their own family. God reconciles the individual. He restores the relationship that we think might be unrestorable. Secondly, Jesus has the ability to reconcile a family. Another true story that actually happened. Middle of the night, pastor gets a call. I need to talk to you. I'll meet you tomorrow. And the pastor finds out that the wife had called the police to have the husband removed from the house the night before. You see, the husband had been a heroin addict earlier in his life, but he tried to clean his act up, and he was doing well until he had a car accident where he broke his neck. And as a result of the accident, chronic pain ensued, which meant that he was taking prescription drugs to deal with the pain. And as we all know, the deceiver tends to deceive. He believed that he had a control over it, and he took more and more, pairing it with alcohol. He began to become violent, not physically, but verbally. And it came to a head. And the wife asked the pastor, can you work with him? And so the process began through counseling, through an invitation to go on a spiritual retreat called the Walk to Emmaus, through the accepting of Jesus Christ in this man's life. Transformation occurred. the family became restored. He was able to break the addictive cycle of drugs and alcohol. He's been clean and sober for 4 years. Their family worships together. His three daughters idolize him. His wife sparkles at the renewed hope of having their family reconciled. They give all credit to Jesus Christ for the work of the miracle of hope delivered in that reconciliation. Third, Jesus has the ability and power to reconcile a community. Another true story that actually happened. So the pastor of a church gets a call from the mayor. One of many churches called out to respond to a community need. Come to this presentation, the mayor begs. One pastor out of 30 churches shows up. And the presentation was for a mentoring program. The pastor went back overwhelmed because he had so much on his plate. But there was something inside of him that said, well, I've got to present it to the congregation. And so he did. Three people after pitching the idea came up to him afterwards and said, we want in. And so one of the other pastors and these three delightful souls went to director's training. And a mentoring program was born. In the first year, they had 25 mentors in the school. They were answering a need. When the principal was asked, is this program making a difference? She began to cry. And she said, I really, truly wish I had a mentor for every student in my school. It's making an amazing difference. It's not just changing grades, it's changing behaviors and attitudes and the hearts. It's offering hope. Now they have 60 mentors in two different schools, making a difference. You see, when Jesus decides to reconcile a community, he doesn't act through one person. He acts through the hearts of many. Where collectively a vision is casted and accepted and carried out. And a community is reconciled to Christ. Reconciled to God the Father. That's our gift of hope, is it not? To have the power of Christ in each one of us that can reconcile or restore our relationship to God the Father, to reconcile or restore broken relationships in our family or friends, reconcile even relationships within a community. I wonder if that mayor ever thought that many people would respond to the dream that he had, to the dream that God had placed on his heart. The truth be told, Jesus doesn't also reconcile individuals or families or even communities. The beautiful thing about, forward these slides. Those mentors through the body of Christ, those mentors that went into the school, you know what they became to those children? They became superheroes. They did. And truth be told, Jesus is the way to reconcile the whole world.